Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Everyday Christian Podcast. I'm your host, Chase Green. This is a podcast where we remind ourselves that God deserves every praise from every creature every day. As we alluded to last week in our second part of a discussion on struggling with drugs and alcohol, I've got my good buddy, Brother Jordan May, with us. He has joined us by phone call. And as we mentioned last week, we're going to talk about a personal example from his life, specifically his grandfather's life, that deals with how he was able to quit drinking. And we're going to let him tell us a little bit about that story. So you might recognize Jordan May. He's been on the podcast before. He has done several episodes with us, and he's back by popular demand. I've heard some good comments about the episodes that he helped me with. So appreciate you, Jordan, for joining us on this week's episode.
Yeah, it's good to be here, man.
Yep, good to have you back. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your grandfather. Was his name Wayne? Is that right, or am I getting that wrong?
Well, I mean, his technical name was Prentice Wayne May, but everybody knew him as Wayne.
Gotcha, okay. So I was pretty young when Brother Wayne passed away, your grandfather. I want to say I was maybe 6 or 7, so I just have very, very vague memories of him, but I do remember people talking about how he really transformed his life when he became a Christian. So that's what we want to talk about. So I'll let you take it from there, Brother Jordy.
Yeah, my grandpa, he didn't grow up in the church. So from a very young age, back in his day, the day that he grew up, you know, kids done a lot of things that they weren't supposed to. And it was okay with the parents. Like, my papa, if I'm not mistaken, I've heard stories of him drinking when he was, like, 10 years old. And, you know, it was never said nothing. It wasn't looked down on. So he was never punished for it. And he just drank his whole life. And it's something he struggled with. Even, I mean, he had only really been quit maybe a year or two before he passed. But, and that, you know, that kind of was the push, you know, he needed to quit, which it was kind of too late, but.
As far as his health?
Yeah, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, which, I mean, he had quit, like I said, a year or two before that, but, I mean, I think he kind of knew that something was wrong.
Yeah.
And I think his last years when he really started, you know, he's like, I'll go to the doctor now, and then it was too late by then.
Yeah. So do we think that the drinking was part of what brought that on, his health problems?
You can look it up on Google or whatever, and that's one of the main causes of pancreatic cancer is from drinking.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad for your health all the way around. I mean, your liver, everything is destroyed from it, especially
right.
When you're drinking copious amounts of alcohol.
Right. And so was he known as one who drank a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. Back then, you know, that's what grown men did. They drank, rode back roads, fought grown men.
Yeah. So they kind of saw that as a way to test their manliness, I guess. A lot of guys that weren't associated with the church.
Yeah, and like I said, that's all he knew is drinking, and the people that you hang out with. You know, it's hard to quit drinking, but it's also hard to quit the social aspect of it. You know, you're not just battling the addiction of the alcoholism, but rather being around all your friends all the time, being the center of attention.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's a lot of things that you have to fight when you try to quit drinking.
Right.
It's bad all the way around.
Speaking of that, I think peer pressure is definitely a major factor. I guess, would you say that peer pressure is something that, generally speaking, is what gets most folks into trouble to start with when it comes to drinking?
Yeah, it can. It's definitely a factor. But you've got some people that just start drinking because they think it's cool. Not really that anybody's peer pressuring them.
Yeah.
It's cool to get drunk and
makes them feel good in the moment. And yeah. Maybe some folks are kind of just curious about it. And
make you feel grown up.
Yeah. Right. You know, I think that the old phrase "curiosity killed the cat" would apply to drinking and drugs and stuff as well. Sometimes people just go to getting curious and they want to experiment with these things, and they end up, you know, on a very dangerous road, and they eventually get addicted and can't find their way out. So Wayne, your grandfather, he became a Christian toward the end of his life?
Well, no. I can't really remember exactly when he was baptized, but it was quite a bit. I'm pretty sure he was, because I never saw him got baptized. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Because I know him and them all, they were married when they were 18, and then they were divorced for 18 years. And I think it's when he came back the second time is when Brother Jared came out there and talked with him.
So she took him back eventually.
Yep. Yep.
And then Brother Jared Brantley is one of the best preachers that was ever there at the congregation where you and I grew up. Just a wonderful man. And so he came out and talked with him.
Oh, yeah.
And converted him at some point.
Yeah. Because my papa's thing was, you know, because he was struggling still. And until he could live a perfect Christian life in his eyes, that it wasn't worth doing it. So, because he would think, you know, he was
a hypocrite or whatnot.
You know. And so, Brother Jared, you know, he told him, he's like, man, you can't wait for that. And he's like, you know, you're not gonna be perfect, but you have to strive to get there.
Right.
And, you know, he broke him off with some knowledge, and Papa finally came around.
Yeah. So he ends up becoming a Christian, and then so what happened then with the addiction to alcohol?
Well, he continued to drink. I mean, I grew up. He died when I was 10, so I've seen him drink plenty of times, you know.
So there, kind of was a falling away period.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he struggled with it. He still go to church and stuff like that, and I think he done more of that because I was around, and it would, you know, he would have to hear my mom. And but anyway, yeah, he'd still drink from time to time, but it finally got to a point where he was serious about quitting. Some things had happened here at the house. I mean, nothing too bad. Like, he didn't get abusive or nothing like that. But anyway, after that, the next day he woke up and he pretty much told my grandma that he was done. And my mama, she done heard it 100 times. So she didn't believe him. She was just like, yeah, okay, whatever. But he was serious that time.
Right.
And it wasn't too much longer after that is when he started having all his problems.
Yeah, health problems.
Yeah.
So he had said many times, you know, I'm going to quit. And then he never did. But then finally, I guess something clicked, and he said, all right, I'm really going to quit this time. And he just did. He just quit cold turkey at that point, right?
Yeah, and a lot of it had to do because, you know, God works on your conscience. Because Papa read the Bible.
So he knew he knew the word.
Yeah, I mean, he preached.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he wasn't ignorant, you know, with the scripture. So, God's word has it works on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I think a key takeaway here is that we all struggle with, you know, one or two or maybe multiple things that are sinful. Whatever the case may be, whatever it is that we struggle with, again, the theme of this season of the podcast is the struggle is real. Well, we all struggle with something, whether it's misplaced priorities or it is drinking, such as in this case, or it is sexual sin, or it's gossip, or foul language, different things, anger problems, whatever the case may be, we all struggle with at least one or two things in our lives, if not several. And I think the key takeaway is that sometimes Christians get to thinking, you know, we are commanded to repent before we're baptized into Christ. And sometimes I think that Christians get to thinking that that's an easy thing to do. And it's really not. It's a very difficult thing to do. And so somebody will repent, and in good faith, they really are repenting. They're trying their best to totally change their life, and then they go ahead and get baptized for the right reason, and their sins are washed away. But then sometimes it's not very long, and they start struggling with those old sins again. I think we need to remember that Paul wrote in Corinthians that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 talks about how we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, etc. And I think we need to remember that that's a growth process that isn't always easy. And I think that there are a lot of Christians who do struggle. They do make up their mind and repent and confess Christ and are baptized into Christ, and they make their mind up to do that and become a Christian. And sometimes it's not 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks later, and they fall right back into sin. So what could we say to help somebody who has obeyed the gospel and they want to be a faithful Christian, but they have fallen back into whatever sin it is that they're addicted to or whatnot? What would you tell somebody like that, Jordan?
Just get back to the Word. Just immerse yourself in the Scripture, because that's where all the answers lie. And if it's, you know, really, really bad and you can't fight it yourself, go to a brother or a sister, whoever, you know, you feel comfortable with, and tell them. That's why they're, you know, we're here, brothers and sisters, so they can help carry that burden.
Absolutely.
And to the brother and sister, don't judge them. You know, that's something I don't ever wish on nobody.
Yeah.
Is an addiction.
Yeah, there's a difference between somebody who is struggling through an addiction but wants out versus somebody who is living in willful sin and doesn't care and is perfectly fine with it. I think sometimes we do become judgmental in the sense that, oh, you're struggling with that sin or this sin or whatnot. How dare you? Well, we all struggle with something or multiple things, and we need to remember that. And, you know, James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses or your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we are here for one another. God knew that we needed an accountability system in the church. And Hebrews 10:24, you know, we're fond of quoting Hebrews 10:25, which talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But Hebrews 10, verse 24 says we need to consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. In other words, we're holding each other accountable when we assemble with the saints and we encourage one another with our presence to worship God together. And one more passage that I thought of was Galatians 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, what man? Well, this would be in context a Christian man who has fallen back into a trespass. He's overtaken by it again. So if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Which burdens? The sin burdens. So we have to bear one another's sin burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we're not doing that, we're not fulfilling the law of Christ. And then it says in verse 3, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself." I thought of another passage. Might as well go here as well, 1 John 1, because deceiving yourself brought this to my mind. 1 John 1, verses 5 and following, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness," that is, we practice darkness. We practice sin, not in the sense that we stumble occasionally, but we are living in willful sin. "We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light," if we practice being in the light, if we are continuously walking in the light as he is in the light, "we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves," which is what we saw in Galatians 6 as well. So if we say we have no sin, if we say we don't ever struggle with anything, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. That is, we make him out to be a liar, which, of course, God is not, but we make him out to be one, and his word is not in us. So it's very, very important for us to be able to admit as Christians that, hey, sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we have faults. Sometimes we're down in the midst of addictions or whatever the case may be, different things that we struggle with, misplaced priorities, etc. And so when we find ourselves in those situations, we've got to, like you said, get back into the Word, study those topics so that we can respond with Scripture when the devil tempts us. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, three times he responded, "It is written," when the devil tempted him. So we've got to respond with Scripture when the devil tempts us. And also, we've got to be there with our brethren and help each other onward in faithfulness and confess our faults to one another. Go ahead.
What happens when you read the Bible and all of a sudden you come across a verse that says something about that you, something you struggle with?
Yeah.
I know I usually stop and I'm like, oh man, you know, this has been blind to me.
Yep.
You know, I haven't realized I've been doing that.
It'll prick your heart and it'll make you change. Either you change, you know, you change your heart and you change your actions and you do better, or the other option is you're cut to the heart, like the folks were when they were encountered by Stephen's preaching, and those folks ended up gnashing on Stephen with their teeth, and they stoned him to death. And so what ends up happening sometimes is people will be confronted with the Word of God, and they harden their heart to it, and they stop listening to the Word of God, and that's a very dangerous place to be. That's somebody who's doing that is lost. They're not saved if they refuse to heed the Word of God.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I would not want to be someone like that on Judgment Day that has actually had the Word brought to them, and then they deny it.
Right. Yep. That's it's going to be a very, very sad situation on Judgment Day. Those who have failed to heed the Word of God, even though they knew what the Word of God said, but they did not listen to it. So, go ahead.
Something else I want to say real quick is that you're not promised tomorrow. My grandpa was a lucky man in the sense that he had just enough time to turn it around. You're not given that chance. Not everybody's given that chance.
Yeah.
If this is something you're struggling with, I pray that you would seek help as soon as possible, because, I mean, not only is it a sin, but it does, I mean, there's a reason why it's a sin. God knows how bad it is for your body, for your life. You know, as far as, you know, the aspect of family and all that. I mean, I've never seen an alcoholic family that was happy.
Yeah, it's major dysfunction. And it causes so many problems, so much toil and turmoil for the family. And there's consequences. I mean, the consequences are tremendous, no matter what the addiction we're talking about. There's just terrible, terrible consequences for the human body itself, which, you know, substances are doing harm to, or consequences for the family, and ultimately consequences for the, you know, the community and the nation. You know, how many people have lost loved ones because a drunk driver, you know, hit them on the road? And it's just so terrible, thinking about all the horrible things that have happened down through the ages because of alcohol addiction. So any final thoughts, Jordan? I definitely appreciate you mentioning that we've got to make sure and be mindful of our time, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're absolutely right. Any other thoughts you have?
No, that's about it. Like I said, I definitely wanted to say that, make that point, because, and like I said, we're not promised tomorrow. I mean, you might not be gifted that chance of turning it around. You know, there's no better time than now. And I would urge whoever's struggling with it or whatever to, as soon as possible, go talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Try to get under control.
Yeah. Get help.
Good kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Get help professionally if needed. Or,
so I'm telling you, it's worth your soul.
Yeah. You're exactly right. One thing I did mention last week on the episode is sometimes you just have to man up and quit, you know. And I know that's easy for me to say. This is not something that I've struggled with, but still, at some point we have to make a decision. And I appreciate your grandfather's example. He eventually made that decision, and he said, you know, I'm done with it, and he never picked it back up again. So we, go ahead.
I mean, you know, he seen what he was doing to us or whatever, but it was God's word. He realized, I mean, like I said, after that, man, he'd get up, he'd preach, and he was on the church. I mean, he still slip up, not drinking, but I mean, he'd slip up on some things and he'd go forward. But I know the main thing is right before he got where he couldn't really talk or anything, you know, he had the elders come up and pray for him because, you know, he's sorry for everything that he's done.
Yeah.
But like I said, you might not get that chance to be able to talk to your elder.
Yeah. We have to be willing to repent, you know, while it's called today, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow.
And start doing your body a favor today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for the kids out there that think it's cool, I mean, yeah, I know that all the pop stars and Hollywood, that, you know, they make it look like glitter, you know, that all the glitz and glamour and how fun it is, but they don't show you the after part.
Right.
You know, they don't show you, you know, puking your guts up, you know, I mean, puking up blood. I mean, I've been there, done that too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's just not worth it.
Right.
Not to put your body through that. And I'm telling you, if you ever watch a man go through, suffer from pancreatic cancer, I promise you, it'll change your mind.
Yep.
This, I mean, you can Google it. It's, I think it's the most painful.
Yeah. Yep, you're right. That's a rough one from what I've heard. So, yeah, if you, the listener, are struggling in any way with this or any other addiction, drugs or anything else, feel free to reach out to us. You can email us at the email that is associated with Scatterbroad Network. You can find it on our website. And make sure that you, like I said, just make sure that you find somebody to help you through it. Even if it's just a brother in Christ or sister in Christ who you can confide in and will help you, maybe help you be an accountability partner or whatnot, just reach out for help and whatever you need to do to make sure that you kick this addiction, because again, the consequences are terrible in this life and even more so in the next life. So appreciate you, Jordan, for helping us with this episode and sharing that story of your grandfather, Brother Wayne May, and appreciate our listeners for tuning in this week, and we will be back to another episode dealing with The Struggle Is Real next week on the Everyday Christian Podcast.